It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Healthcare providers are seeing increased levels of burnout during the pandemic. That's according to a survey from the Physicians Foundation conducted this year. Today, we're going to talk with Tarek Khan, president of the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association, about the burnout healthcare workers are experiencing. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Kevin, my pleasure.
Yesterday, we heard from Claire Zangerle, the chief nurse executive with Allegheny Health Network, about how she and her colleagues are urging the public to take mitigation procedures seriously. She said they're good on PPE, but what they need are more nurses, more staff to support patients. Tarek, for your members, what do staff levels look like these days? Are they working more hours than typical during this time of year?
Yeah, Kevin. Historically, there has not been adequate safe staffing and safe equipment for nurses to do our jobs. It all depends on the hospital, but I've been hearing a lot that you either have staffing or you have PPE, but you don't have both. You know, and nurses, too, we have a sort of a warrior mentality. I think nurses, that's what we do. It's not everyone can be a nurse. It really is a calling. And there is a culture for nurses to go all in for your patients and, you know, shoulder that load. Put your patients' need over your own. Yeah.
Are nurses using that term, burnout? And what does it look like? Are nurses leaving the profession, or are they opting to work in settings maybe other than hospitals?
You know, it's a combination of factors. Some are just, as you said, they are burnt out. For many, many nurses, they have families, and they worry about going home to their families and exposing them to something that that they could have been prevented. So yes, a lot of nurses are leaving the bedside.
Are you concerned that the fatigue, the exhaustion might lead to mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, we know that when there is inadequate staffing, which there is right now, the chances of patients getting hurt goes up dramatically. There are studies that show this with staffing. With burnout, I'd have to look at the literature, but there's no question when they're working more hours than they need to. And that is often what's happening. We have nurses that are working in surgical units, and at the end of their shift, there's no one to relieve them. They have to stay on to finish.
Is there a statewide standard to make sure that nurses aren't reporting for work, aren't going to work if they've been exposed?
No, there is not. In fact, you know, the CDC has guidance that if the facility feels like they can't get staff in any other way, nurses that have tested positive for COVID-19 can work. It's intended to be sort of a last resort, but there's no regulation to say that facilities can't determine on their own what constitutes an emergency. So nurses are absolutely being put in situations where they have to question, is this best for the patient or is this best for the hospital?
What are nurses doing to protect themselves mentally, physically, once they leave the hospital? How are they coping with any mental strain?
One of the tough things about this pandemic is that it has been relentless. So, you know, unloading with your family, you know, spending that time, it becomes difficult when you're working a lot and also when you're afraid of exposing your family. I myself, I've limited the time that I've spent with my parents. You know, I don't want to expose other people. So, you know, unfortunately, there's less options as a nurse when you're trying to unwind than there was before.
With restrictions on visitors, nurses have become maybe the only human interaction with patients. So how are nurses taking on that human care side of the problem? Also, you know, juggling the weight of trying to keep somebody healthy or get them healthy again.
This is why nurses are best suited to be on the front lines, is because of that empathy. I mean, I can't think of a better person to be with patients at this time during the pandemic than nurses. You know, I volunteer to be testing on the front lines to do COVID testing because I thought those soft skills were needed, those skills with patients. This is a time when people are scared. They don't know what's going to happen. They're afraid if they get sick with what that's going to look like. A lot of them are already having painful symptoms, shortness of breath, fatigue, And having a nurse that is able to empathize with them, that's able to give them that compassion, that's able to let them know that everything is going to be okay, that I'm going to be here for you, patients need. So I can't think of a better person, a better role to be there with patients through this scary pandemic than the role of a nurse.
Tarek Khan is the president of the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
It's the Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Friday marks the third anniversary of Steeler Pro Bowl linebacker Ryan Shazier suffering a devastating spinal cord injury during a national telecast of the Steelers-Bengals game in Cincinnati. His progress since then has been amazing. Ryan, welcome to the Confluence. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ryan, 3 years ago, the Steelers were on their way to a 13-3 season and the playoffs. You were on your way to another Pro Bowl. Before that game, what were you thinking about your team and your career?
Well, I was thinking everything was going great. You know, I was really excited about the season. I felt like we had a Super Bowl contending team. And I felt like my career was going the right direction. My goal was, you know, eventually make it to the Hall of Fame. And I just try to get better every single day. And I was starting to see that come to fruition.
So then the injury occurs. Are you thinking about your career? Are you thinking about yourself, your family? What were you thinking about?
You know, I was definitely thinking about my career. You know, I didn't think that an injury was as bad as it was when I first initially got it. But then after a while, I just started really noticing how serious this injury was. And, you know, I just started really diving in and focusing in with my family about what are the best ways to come back full strength and just try to be back the man I was before. And that's when, you know, we started the journey.
That journey. Can you tell us about a time when you were in rehab that you thought, I'm going to get through this injury and recovery? Or was that your mindset all along, that mental toughness that a pro athlete has to have?
Yeah, that was kind of my mindset all along. I just thought, no matter what, I'm going to get through this. I kind of gave it any type of injury type of aspect. I've been hurt before and I've gone through so much rehab before, and I just wanted to make sure this was just like another session of rehab, but this one I was just going to have to take a little bit more serious or just put in a little bit more effort than I had before. So from the moment I got hurt till even now, I've always been giving everything I have to try to get back to the possibility of playing, but also just being the possibility of just being the person I was before, and everything's going really well.
What are some of the highlights of that recovery? Was it, you know, dancing at your own wedding?
I feel just being able to walk at my wedding and dance at my wedding was truly a miracle, because just a year before, I was told that I might never walk again, and to be able to just not a long walk, but dance at my wedding. So it was just a great time.
You had a fantastic medical care from actually the moment you were lying on the turf through the entire process. But a lot of people who suffer spinal cord injuries don't get that level of care, that level of rehab services. So why is it so important to you to see that they get similar levels of care?
Just because of what you just said, the moment I got hurt, I was able to get the care that I needed and be able to, you know, overcome this crazy and terrible injury that I had. But a lot of people don't. And I want to be able to allow people to have the same type of care that I was given, because just because I played football doesn't mean that I deserve care better or worse than that person.
So you have created a fund to accomplish what?
Yeah, so I created a fund to give people the same opportunities and just to allow people the opportunity to get rehab, but the opportunity to try to get back to some type of normalcy. You know, everybody's not going to get back to 100%. Like, I wasn't able to get back to being Ryan Shazier, the Pro Bowler. You know, I just want to focus on those people right now that want to be, you know, Sherry the teacher again or Beth the mom. You know, I just want to allow those people to be able to be the person they were before, not allow something like this to hold them back. And I just think that's important because when your identity is taken from you, it's really hard for you to find a new one, especially one that you didn't get to choose yourself. So I just want to give people the opportunity to, you know, to have a meaningful, independent lifestyle, because once you become hurt by a spinal cord injury, it kind of takes your independence away. I know how difficult that can be.
It takes special strength, toughness, to make it in the NFL, to succeed. During your recovery and rehab, did you discover a new inner strength?
Yeah, so I've always been a pretty tough guy, obviously. But when it comes to mental tough, that's just a totally different story. I feel like I was a mentally tough, strong person. But just to be able to overcome this and just grow through this and thrive through this, it wasn't easy at all. And I definitely had my tough days. I definitely had days that I looked back and was like, I don't know how I got over this. But that's just being a real person. But to be successful, then that's getting taken away from you. And then to tell you, hey, try a new chapter of your life, but you know nothing about it. That's a mentally tough thing to do. And I definitely found out some new things about myself and my family and my friends when I was going through this process. And I definitely found a lot of inner strength dealing with it.
Former Steeler Pro Bowl linebacker Ryan Shazier, thanks so much, and very good luck to you with your nonprofit to help other folks who sustain spinal cord injuries.
Thank you so much, and it was great talking to you.
And joining us now is his neurosurgeon, Dr. David Okonkwo. Doctor, you were on the sideline during that Monday night football game. I remember watching it on television. What was the nature of Ryan's injury?
Yes, it did not take us long to reach the conclusion that he had sustained a spinal cord injury. But we train for these things. And so there's a very specific set of things that occur in that moment that lead to being put onto a cart and then being transported to a hospital. And then these are franchises that are in cities that have fantastic medical centers. And so from the very first second of Ryan's injury, he was in a place to have access to everything that would be available to us in modern times to do the best we can for someone with a spinal cord injury.
What can set spinal cord injury patients apart? What makes one maybe more likely to regain mobility than another?
There are ultimately things that are dictated by the injury itself. And as physicians, we don't have control over that. We don't have control over the specific nature of the injury that the patient sustained. You know, it's our job to do the best we can, whatever the circumstances are in that moment. But we've learned that there are patterns of injuries that are more likely to recover than not. You know, for Ryan, the statistics were not favorable, which just further speaks to the remarkable nature of the overall story.
Why don't most patients see the same intensive care, treatment, rehabilitation services that Ryan received after his injury? Whether they're injured on a football field playing sports or they're injured in another activity?
That is the central question. And Ryan is the best person and the best ambassador for this cause, because he can articulate firsthand exactly what it was that he personally experienced, as well as what he saw in the differences between him and the other spinal cord injury patients around him as he was working through his recovery journey. We have a fundamental problem in that there is a significant gap between what health insurances believe to be the appropriate amount of care for a patient with a spinal cord injury, and what those of us on the side of providing that care recognize to be the actual need. And so we have far too many of our patients fall into a gap between what they actually need and what they are actually having access to as being paid for by their insurance companies. And so we also have a gap between what insurance companies will pay for these assistive technologies and what would maximize the independence and quality of life for patients with spinal cord injuries.
So it's not just the recovery, it's the quality of life ongoing.
that's the ultimate goal for all of us who are helping with these patients. We want to give people their maximum chance for maximum recovery, but we also want to create the ideal set of circumstances for people to maximize their quality of life. For spinal cord injury patients, I've had the fortune as a physician all these years to be a part of and to witness so many inspirational stories of people who are taking those serious injuries and taking those very significant challenges that those injuries produce and turning them into stories of triumph and stories of positive energy and stories of love and stories of victory. And we are in a place where we can give those kinds of victories to a very large number of patients. And in some cases, it just takes just the smallest bit of extra help to make an enormous difference.
Doctor, how much of the recovery, the rehab for patients is mental?
Well, that is a significant part of this. I have also watched over the years that there seems to be that moment for everyone who's recovering from a spinal cord injury where they end up in that dark place. And that dark place can also be experienced by the people around them, their family, their closest friends, their caregivers. And yet the human spirit continues to amaze me. And the human spirit continues to inspire me because I so often watch people reach that dark moment and then turn it into the positive energy that they need to muster the strength and the will and the commitment to forge on. And we should not discount the psychological impact of these injuries. And in fact, I think that we should be open and honest and upfront about that particular aspect of things. And we also shouldn't shy away from the fact that people need resources to address that aspect of the recovery process as well.
Sounds like you're amazed by Ryan's story.
Absolutely. And Ryan has Ryan has been an incredible inspiration to me personally. It's clear that Ryan's story resonates with a huge swath of our community and our country. It has been an honor to be a part of his care team, and it has been an inspiration to watch this person attack this injury and set his sights on his own personal goals related to his recovery with a smile.
3 years ago, Steeler Pro Bowl linebacker Ryan Shazier suffered a devastating spinal cord injury. His recovery has been remarkable, thanks in large part to his neurosurgeon, Dr. David Okonkwo. Dr. Okonkwo, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kevin.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.